This is November 3rd, 2007, in New Zealand. Presentation, I'm Radhika. So yesterday was the appearance day of Radhakund. And if we were there in Vrindavan, we might have gone there and taken a bath or circumambulated Radhakund. So I thought that we could do a little virtual circumambulation. This is a tour of Radhakund. These pictures were taken by some of my family members who will show up occasionally in the photos. If you know them, you'll recognize them. Okay, ready to start? Everybody ready? Okay. Lights? Yes. Okay. It's really impossible to have like one small light, I guess. All right. That's fine. We're fine. All right, so we're going to start off with Rupa Goswami's Upadesh Amrita.
The holy place, known as Mathura, is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan, because of Krishna's Rasa-lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarine praying of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill?
So we're going to look for a minute at this verse, right? Here Rupa Goswami is comparing Vaikuntha, Mathura, Vrindavana, Govardhan Hill, and Radhakund. And you can see that Vaikuntha is the spiritual world. The Purusha Shukta Mantra says that the spiritual world is three-quarters of the creation. Of course, the spiritual world is unlimited, so that's a little explanation for our understanding. And of course, it's superior to anything here. There's no birth, death, old age, and disease. There's no envy. There's no lust. There's no greed. There's no suffering. But Mathura, even in this world, is considered superior because the Lord appears there and displays his intimate pastimes. And then Rupa Goswami tells us that superior to that is Vrindavana, which is famous for even more intimate pastimes. And superior to that is the best devotee of Krishna, Govardhan Hill. But better than Govardhan Hill is Radhakund. So Prabhupada explains there in the purport that at Radhakund was discovered again by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, most other Vaishnava Sampradayas do not give much importance to Radhakund. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavana, it was just to paddy field, just to ponds and paddy fields for Radhakund and Shamakund. But he's the one who said, yes, this is where Radha and Krishna have their intimate sports, and he asked his followers to excavate the kunds.
Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kund, lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund, and, in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, a Prakriti Bhava, render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Astakaliya Leela, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes? Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. Of the many objects of favorite delight, and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha-kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused.
Then looking at this verse, why is Radha-kund so special? Because it belongs to Radharani, who's Krishna's most beloved. And every time that Krishna sees the kund, he's reminded of Radharani. In fact, we could understand that Radharani takes the form of the kund, as Krishna takes the form of Shyamakund. And who's interested? Not ordinary devotees, only the most fortunate who follow in the mood of the gopis, the full surrender to Krishna, and particularly those who are under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, now are we ready to start our tour? Now that we've heard some of the glories of Radha-kund? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutana Paragam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Chani Sri Guru Pram Chagudatam Sarvadam Vitam Sam Sutra Sarvatam Sabudutam Parijana Sarvatam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vaitam Sri Krishna Krishna Sutra. So we're going to go all the way around Radha-kund and Shyamakund. We're going to come in this way. We're going to go down this path. We're going to backtrack a little up this way and on some of the side streets and go around. You can't see where the path goes up here. We're going to spend quite a bit of time here in many of the places. And we're going to continue around this path all the way back to where we started. Now, on many of the slides, you're going to find a map. This map here. So we're going to be referring to the different places on the map as we go around. Now, for those of you who've been to Vrindavan, if you're at Vrindavan going towards Govardhan, you come in a road this way, and you end up on the Govardhan Parikram path. And if you're taking the Parikram, you'd go the opposite direction of this arrow, but we're going to go backwards on the Govardhan Parikram path. One reason is that those who take the Parikram of Govardhan and then Radha-kund skip this whole part right here, because they enter in on this road and go around and come back and go that way, so they don't go to this part. So we're going to go backwards on the Govardhan Parikram path and enter in Radha-kund over here. So first we come to the temple of Radha-Gokulananda. Now, these temples are not the original deities established by these personalities, but they're expansions of those deities. So all of the main temples that exist in Vrindavan also exist in Radha-kund in an expanded form. Now, this is a close-up of Radha-Gokulananda. If you see the whole altar, this is where they are. They're a little difficult to see. This temple is not very well maintained at all, and very few people go there because this is the part of the path that's often skipped by the pilgrims, and it's kind of out of the way, and the people there are not used to getting very many pilgrims. Then we start walking down the path into Radha-kund proper. You run into some sweet shops. If you take a right here, you'll go to Mahanidhi Swami's ashram. Then on your left, we find one of the four forms of Lord Shiva who guards the kund. This is the guardian from the south. We won't find Lord Shiva on the east. That temple seems to have disappeared. But Krishna is very, very soft. And Radharani, being his compassionate nature, she's actually melting with compassion. And Krishna, in his original mood, doesn't even kill demons. And he and Radharani are very soft and very accessible. So what the Lord does is he surrounds himself with expansions of himself who act as gatekeepers to keep rascals like me from entering into a very intimate sport. So one of them is Lord Shiva, who acts as a guardian of all of Krishna's intimate dhams. And here he is, this Kundeshwar. At this temple, this is an unusually clean shot because people are always bathing this Lord Shiva, and therefore the area around is generally very muddy. This is a tree that's right in that temple, and here's Lord Shiva dressed up for the appearance day of Radha Kund. So this is what he looked like yesterday. So there's the Radha Gokulananda temple we first entered. There's Kundeshwar. And just after we pass Kundeshwar, we start to see Radha Kund on the right. Now this area is a sabji mandi. It's a market for vegetables. Very nice vegetables too. So as we look out over the vegetable market, we can see the sun drum here. And here's a closer view. Now right here in the sun drum, there's holes cut in the stairs. And this is where Radha Kund and Shyamakund are flowing together. But sometimes in the rainy season, the water's flooded so that the Shyamakund and Radha Kund are flowing together over the top of the sun drum. And here you can see there are people bathing here at the sun drum as the Kunds are flowing together. Now we've been looking kind of to the right. Now we're going to look. This is the Kunds flowing together as seen by the great devotees in meditation. Now we're going to look to the left. The sun drum is over on the on this side. And this is the bathing place of Janava Mata, which we'll see a little later on in our tour. Okay, as we come to the end of the Sabji Mandi, we were looking over this wall here at the Kund. Now we're walking straight ahead. And here we see this concrete structure. Here you see it when all the Sabji Wallas have gone home. This is commemorating one of the swinging places of Radha and Krishna. If one turns left at the swinging place of Radha and Krishna, one goes up a little road to the temple of Radha and Krishna. They were the oldest deities at Radha Kund, and these were discovered in the bottom of the Kund when it was being excavated under the order of Raghunath Das Goswami. The pujari there is very friendly. They have some cows there, which seem to be well taken care of, which is an exception in the area. And the pujari is very smiling, happy, and humble gentleman. The deities also seem like they're very well taken care of. The temple's very clean. There's a tree in that courtyard that's supposed to be Lakshmi Narayan together. All right, so now we go down that little path back onto the main Parikram road. Then we turn left, and this is where you'd enter if you were coming from Govardhan. So we're going, again, backwards. And if it's a really big pilgrimage day like yesterday, you probably wouldn't be able to walk backwards on this path at all. I mean, you'd really be going against an intense crowd. And the first temple you come to on the right was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It's the temple of Radha Kunja Bihari. There's a Pushpa Samadhi of Gorkishore Das Babaji there. So here are the beautiful deities of Radha Kunja Bihari and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now we're going to go a little bit further on down this path, again backwards on the Govardhan Parikram path. We're going to come to a big tree on the right that has a platform under it, and we turn right after that tree. We then enter into a very little village. And we're definitely going to be harassed by the village children. At the end of that road, we find a very ill-kept kund. This is Madhyana Kund. This is where the gopis were. They were sitting on a platform here, and they were making ornaments out of pearls. And Krishna approached them one day and said, "Would you give me some pearls?" And Lalita and Radharani completely ignored him. This story is told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he said, "Can't I at least have four pearls, one for the horns on for each of my two favorite cows?" And Lalita says, "You think that our pearls are meant for your cows? We're not going to give you any pearls." So then Krishna went back to his mother, and he said, "Mother, I'd like to have some pearls to plant." And she said, "You can't plant pearls, you silly boy." "No, Mommy, I want some pearls to plant." Mother Yasoda is a very indulgent mother. So she gave Krishna some pearls. He planted them in a plot by the Yamuna, watered them with milk, and they sprouted pearl trees. And then the gopis saw the beautiful pearls that Krishna was growing. So they took all of their pearls, and they asked their in-laws and parents for pearls, and they took all of the pearls in their house, planted them, and watered them with milk. But what grew were only thorn trees. Meanwhile, they had run completely out of pearls, and Krishna had so many pearls that he was fully decorating his cows, his bulls, his goats, the buffalo, and even the she monkeys. So at that point, the gopis, being very embarrassed, approached Krishna by the bank of the Jamuna and asked to barter with him for some pearls. And he was demanding, of course, outrageous prices, and they enjoyed some very nice joking together, and eventually he sent all of them boxes of pearls, each with their name written on them. So now, continuing further down that road, we come to this pond. This is, again, we're on the Govardhan Parikram path. This pond is where a jackal was being harassed by some children and took shelter of Radharani, who then saved it. And here we find a very small temple where we find the deity of Lord Shiva who guards Radhakund from the west, Rameshwara. Okay, now we're going to come back down on the Parikram path, on the Govardhan Parikram path. So now we're walking with all the pilgrims, and we're now going to enter back to the Radhakund Parikram path. Right in front of us, we will come to this temple of Radhakanta, which is an expansion for the deities of Vikeshwara Pandit. And evidently, they don't get very many visitors. The door is often locked. You have to bang for a long time to get in. And it's not a very well-kept temple. There's a murti of Vikeshwara Pandit. You know, Vikeshwara Pandit was one of the associates in Chaitanya Leela who danced. And he danced once for 72 hours in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Then across the street from here is an ISKCON temple. And unfortunately, I don't have a photo of it, but in the back of this temple is the Samadhi of Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So this is it's a very, very, very nice temple. And it's a wonderful place to visit, and just for practical purposes, if you want to get a drink of water or use the toilets or something like that, this is a place you know that you can go to in Radhakund. Okay, going on a little further, we go down, and now we're going to take a left off the main road. And we see this gate. In front of this are some people who keep pigs. And we're going to go through this gate, and here's the temple of Radha Shyama Sundar, which are expansions of the deities of Shyamananda Pandit. And here's the Bhajan Kutir of Shyamananda Pandit. And you remember that Shyamananda was named Duki Krishnadas. Right? And he found that anklet. Here you see him finding the anklet of Radharani. And after that time, Radharani initiated him as Shyamananda and gave him a new kind of tilak. And many of his followers still live in the Radhakund area today. Okay, now we're going to go a little further down this side street. There's two temples of Radha Damodar in Radhakund, so we're about to visit one of them. So in this temple, we find the gopi form of Jiva Goswami as Vilas Manjari. I see even the rats here are interested to watch things on Radhakund. Okay, so now we're going to go off that side street and back onto the main Parikram path. And now we're going to go to the edge of Radhakund to the Gopinath, one of two Gopinath temples. This Gopinath deity was actually although most of the deities here are expansions of the deities of the Goswamis, this is actually Janava Matsya's Gopinath deity. And this is where we enter on the right. And here's when the gates are up. Now, when Janava saw this Gopinath deity, she said that the deity of Radharani didn't match him very well. So she had another deity made, and it said that the other deity was made looking just like Janava. So both the deities were installed, and it said that on one side of Gopinath is Radharani, and on the other side is Ananda Manjari. So here's when you walk right outside the Gopinath temple. This is overlooking Radhakund. And there are people here who come here every day at noon to recite different shastras. It's a very cool place to sit. I mean, temperature-wise, cool. I don't mean like, you know, hip. It may be that too, I don't know. But it's a, there's a tree there and you can get some shade. Then when we go back in, we find the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. There's a 24-hour kirtan that goes on there, and there's at least one ISKCON devotee who participates in that kirtan. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami was the main person who excavated Radhakund. He was desiring to do that, and then he thought, well, doing that is going to cost a lot of money. And then he was upset with himself for wanting to do some service that cost money because he was a renunciate. Well, just at that moment, there was a pilgrim at Badrinath in the Himalayas who was worshiping the Lord and saying, my dear Lord, I'd like to offer a lot of money in service. And the Lord then spoke to him and said, go to Radhakund and offer your money to Raghunath Das Goswami. So he did that. At first, the Goswami was reluctant to take it, but after some time, understanding it was Krishna's arrangement, he took that money. And what was interesting is he engaged Jiva Goswami as the manager. So although it was his inspiration, Jiva Goswami was doing the actual management. Sometimes we see that certain people are more suited for management than others. So across the street from the Gopinath Temple and the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami, we find this building. And inside here is a very small, you can see Lord Shiva on the north. Right? And now we're going to look in this door right here. And then after looking this door, we're going to look in this building. So in that next door are the footprints of Srimati Radhika. And now we're going to go to the temple that's in that same building. So this is an expansion of the deities of Radhariman of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This is a stage on which they have dramatic performances. Of course, you may remember that the original deities of Radhariman and Vrindavan, the Radhariman deity was self-manifested from a shila that Gopal Bhatta found in the Gandaki River. And this is a very unusual temple because not only do we have Radhariman, but we also have Revati Balaram. Okay, now we're going to cross the street. And here's another stage that's used for dramatic performances, especially of Rasleela plays. And we turn left and walk in this gate. And here we are at the expansion of the deities of Radha Govinda. These deities are obviously very well taken care of, and the temple is very clean. Okay, we go out of this temple and take a left. We come to this very small, run-down building, in which is installed the tongue of Govardhan. When Raghunath Das Goswami was engaging some people in excavating a well, blood started coming out instead of water. And he had a dream in which he was told that where you have dug is the tongue of Govardhan. So they removed that stone and they installed them here in this temple. And you see they've put beeswax into a nose and stuff. And on this day, this picture was taken. A friend of mine comes periodically and brings him crowns and clothes and sweets. So that's when we took this picture. So now we're going to go back down to the Radha Govinda temple. We back up a little bit and take a left through this very little alley here. And this is one of the residents of the alley. And we end up at this building, which is where we have the Pushpa Samadhis of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj, and Raghunath Das Goswami. So if we go out of that building and turn left, we're heading right towards, we're right above the Sangram of Radhakund. And here we are at the Bhajan Kutir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So this Bhajan Kutir is pretty much right across the street from the Radhariman temple. And right outside, we overlook the Sangram. And here we find another swinging place of Radha and Krishna. Now, if we go back down the alley, as if we're going back to the Parikram path, but we take our first right, we end up here at the Bhajan Kutir of Krishna Das Kaviraj, where he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And you see how well kept this is. People have been giving donations and the walls have been covered with tiles. If walls are not covered with tiles in that area, the paint starts coming off and getting all moldy and stuff. So then in that courtyard area where Krishnadas Kaviraj's bhajan kutir is, we come to the kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now Raghunath Das Goswami used to sit by Radhakund and Shyamakund without any kind of building. And there are two things that happened. One thing here, when he was going to drink from the kund, some tigers also came. So in those days, they were both tigers and lions at that part of India. Now the only lions in India are in a small reserve in Gujarat. And Sanatana Goswami came to visit Raghunath Das Goswami at the time, and he saw that Krishna himself was there protecting Raghunath Das from the tigers. And he said, "You can't be calling on Krishna to do service for you. Build yourself a hut." But Raghunath Das Goswami didn't listen. Well, sometime later, he was sitting outside doing his bhajan, and you know, it gets very hot there, and Radharani herself came and put her chador over Raghunath Das Goswami to shade him from the sun. Sanatana Goswami also observed this, and he said, "Look, you already took service from Krishna, but you cannot take service from Radharani." At that point, Raghunath Das Goswami built himself a little kutir, was at this spot. And right next to there is the bhajan kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And if we keep walking, we come to a pilu tree. This is right at the top of some stairs leading down into Shyamakund. And then to our left, if we're facing Shyamakund, is this bhima tree. So when Raghunath Das Goswami was excavating the kunds, you'll notice that Radhakund is a square shape, but Shyamakund is not. And he had a dream that the five Pandavas came to him and said, "We're all doing austerities here at Shyamakund in the form of trees." So Shyamakund is built to go around the Pandavas. So this is the bhima tree. Now this pilu tree is where Radharani and her friends put their clothes when they take their noon bath, right here at the bottom of these stairs. So here we've gone down the stairs. The pilu tree is above us. As soon as we get to the bottom of the stairs, to our left is the Arjuna tree. And in front of us, of course, is where Radharani and her friends would bathe at noon. To our right is the Sangram, and here you can see this is the place where the stairs are cut out so Radhakund and Shyamakund can flow together. Okay, now we go back up the stairs, and if we walk a little further, we come to this Brahmin tree. This is a Brahmin who took the form of this tree and is supposed to fulfill the desires of anyone who prays to him. Going in the gate, we come to the Chaitanya Gadadhar temple. And those of you familiar with the story of Gangamata Goswamini, as she and her friends did austerity there at Radhakund at this very spot. This is another place where we find a 24-hour kirtan. Here you see Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Gadadhar. And at the bottom of this altar are two Govardhan Shilas stuck together, worshipped as Radha and Krishna. Okay, now we've just been in this whole area by Shyamakund, so we've come back down that little alley, went back on the parikram path, and we immediately take a left into another side street. This is the only sweet water well in the area, and there are people gathering water from it from 3 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. This has also been recently renovated with very nice tiles. Here's the Pushpa Samadhis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, and I don't know who this is. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati spent a lot of time at his father's bhajan kutir here at Radhakund. Here you can see his chair, his table, his bed. He even installed a Western-style toilet when he was old, for which he was very soundly criticized by all the residents of Radhakund. This was the place where he gave lectures on the Sriyasha Upanishad, for which he was also criticized. Why are you coming to Radhakund and not talking about Radhakrishna's Leela? Why are you reading the Sriyasha Upanishad? This is a very, very nice place. So here we come back down from the Bhajan Kutir, and we're going on the Parikram path. Now from here we're going to continue this way to Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. So all along the Parikram path are people selling Tulsi beads. And here you go through a little door on the right side of the path. This is a recently renovated temple. And in this door is Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, and in this door are the deities. And Shyamakund, you see her walking, if she kept walking straight, she'd get right to Shyamakund. So here you see Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, and here's the deities of Radha Damodara. Alright, now we were just here at the Bhajan Kutir of Jiva Goswami. And here was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir, and here's Lalita Kund. Right next to Lalita Kund is the temple of Radha Lalit Bihari. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, just nearby my kutir is Lalita Kund, surrounded by hundreds of bejeweled altars. At that place, Sri Radhakrishna can be seen continuously sporting as they expand their pastimes. So of course, many of us just see a not very well-kept pond, but this is what the Thakur sees. And he sees Radha and Krishna and their associates sporting in the water. And he sees Lalita Devi, who's established all of the beautiful jeweled altars by the bank of her Anakund. And here's the temple of Lalit Bihari. Unfortunately, I don't have more pictures of the deities because it's actually Radha Krishna and also Lalita's there. So now we've started to walk. This is the Lalit Bihari temple. We've started to walk down the path. On the right is the temple of Radha Vinod, and there's a 24-hour kirtan that goes on here. Because this temple is right on the Parikram path, you don't have to go inside of a door or gate to get to it. So many pilgrims stop by to see the deities. Okay, we're going to go a little bit further on down the path. This is on our left side. Now we find the Gopi's Well, where Raghunath Das Goswami found the tongue of Govardhan. And right across the street is Madhavendrapuri's sitting place, and you can see here from the map, it's right on Shyamakund, so right back here is Shyamakund. Okay, we're going to keep going a little further. And we come to the temple, and we went from here to here. Come to the temple of Radha Krishna the Eighth Sakhi. So I'm not sure how well you can see, but here's each of the eight sakis. Across the street, we find Gorni Thai and Advaita Acharya. There's some ISKCON devotees from Manipur who run this temple. And then a little further, we come to the temple of Radha Madhava, expansions of the deities of Jayadeva Goswami. The temple room here is gorgeous. It's black and white marble, spotlessly clean, and the deities are very well taken care of. But the entrance from the Parikram path is very run down and shabby and almost invisible. And probably almost nobody goes to this temple, but it's a very nice place to go. And this is a Jayadev Goswami. So we've just come down this path. Now that we've now at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sitting place, as was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur.
Meditate on the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga. Lord Hari is in his heart. Lord Hari is in his meditation. and he always chants the name of Hari. Gaurachanda is intoxicated by ecstatic mellows and rolls around on the ground by singing and singing Harinam.
Okay, just a little bit further past the footprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his sitting place. We come to the playing platform of Radha and Krishna. During their noonday pastimes, Radha and Krishna come to Radhakund, and they also like to play games. So Raghad is not some stodgy old man. He's a fun teenager. Across the street is the temple of Lakshmi Narayan. You really have to know where this temple is to find it. You have to go through all these stone archways, and the curtains are usually closed, and you usually have to wake up the people there and give them some rupees, and then maybe they'll open it for you. I don't think very many people go there. But the deities are very beautiful. And a little further, we come to the deity of Radha Mohan of Sanatana Goswami. We just came here. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sitting place, and this is Krishna's playing platform, and we've just come this way. This is the Bhajan Kutir of Sanatana Goswami. Okay, now we've come to the Sangram. Now, unfortunately, this is not the most pleasant place to go to in Radhakund, because this is where everybody goes. So this is also where all the pandiyas go. And as soon as you go there, they will pester you. This is the number one pestered place at Radhakund. As you first enter the Sangram, you'll see these rocks from Govardhan Hill. There's Radhakund over here. This is also Radhakund. And we've come down this way, and here are some people getting ready to bathe there. So this is, again, where the kunds meet together. And the kunds are flowing together in that opening under the stairs there at the Sangram. So on the Sangram, there's a very nice temple of Bunki Bihari. Again, this somehow, rather, this isn't visited by too many pilgrims. The pujari is very friendly, speaks good English, and he loves to tell you the story about the deities, like for an hour. And he has these very nice Govardhan Shilas there also on the altar. Okay, so then we leave the Sangram. We were just here at the Bunki Bihari temple, and we're going back out of the Sangram. And on our right, there's a beautiful temple of Gornitai, very, very big deities. Now we're going to continue along this path. And as we do, we're very likely to see people offering Dandavat Parikram. So Prabhupada tells us something about that in relationship to one of the verses of the Sri Sad Goswami Astika. So Prabhupada tells us that Raghunath Das Goswami, not only was he counting the holy names, but he was also offering obeisances, just like we see people doing today. Dandavat Parikram, where they fall down, they make some mark, then they fall down again. And here Prabhupada is saying, if you want to take bath in Radhakund, first you should be able to do Dandavat Parikram like Raghunath Das Goswami. So sometimes people take different instructions from Prabhupada, whether we should just put some water on our head or take full bath. But obviously, to take bath, one should have some qualification. And to do Dandavat Parikram of Radhakund and Shyamakund takes about an hour and a half, which doesn't sound like a very long time, but if you're not in shape, it can be very painful for the next few days. But there's many, many devotees who do Dandavat Parikram of Radhakund and Shyamakund. I do also know some devotees who've done Dandavat Parikram of the whole Govardhan Hill. Now, generally, that takes about 10 to 14 days. Now, they don't sleep on the Parikram path, of course. They mark their spot and go back and sleep somewhere and then come back and finish up the next day. And then a few devotees who've done that maybe like 10 times, but that's probably more than most of us can even think about doing. And one devotee I spoke to who did Dandavat Parikram of Radhakund and Shyamakund was telling me, said, said you really start getting an intimate relationship with the ground. He said, now every time I go back there, I think, I know that piece of ground. I know that piece of ground. And he said, you really start thinking about how you're serving the feet of all the devotees there. And you find that the pilgrims and the residents there are very happy when they see people doing dandavats to Radhakund and Shyamakund. Okay, so as we go down, we're coming to the last place on our tour. This is another Radhagokula Nanda temple. This is the temple of the deities of Madhu Pandit. And there's a very old pujari here, very old toothless pujari. And again, for some reason, hardly anybody goes to this place. It's a very shabby. There's a ladies' ashram there, which is pretty pathetic. So if anybody has any money and wants to do some service for the dham, there's a lot of service that could be done in this place. And here in the courtyard of the temple is the sitting place of Lord Nityananda. So now we have finished our tour, which we had mostly by the mercy of the six Goswamis. So we came in from this way. Here's the bathing place of Janava Mata. Here was one of the swings of Radha and Krishna, the first one we saw. Then we came in this big area here where we saw the Bhajan Kutir of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Here was the tree that's another swinging place of Radha and Krishna. Here's the Sangram. Here we came to the Bhajan Kutirs of Raghunath Das Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Here's the Pilu tree, the Bhima tree. We went all the way around, and here we are a little bit past the sitting place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So any questions, comments, discussions? Additions, subtractions? Yes?
Are the trees of all the Pandavas still standing?
The only ones we know about now are the Bhima tree and the Arjuna tree. Yes? The eyes. Well, because a hill, the foot of a hill can mean the foot, or it can just mean the bottom of the hill. So, in this case, I understand it to mean something that is at the bottom of the hill. Anything else? Oh, how they manifest it? I decided to do a tour instead of a manifestation story. So that was when Krishna killed Aristasura, who was a demon who'd taken the form of a bull. So, of course, he'd also killed a calf demon previously. But so then Radharani said, I'm sorry, I'm not having anything to do with you anymore because you've been sinful by killing the bull. He said, it wasn't a bull, it was a demon who looked like a bull. She said, no, it was a bull. No, forget it. She often finds excuses not to want to have anything to do with him, that's it. So she says, you know, I'm only going to have anything to do with you anymore if you bathe in all the holy places. So Krishna called all the holy places there. And he created in that way Shyamakund. And then he invited Radharani and her girlfriends to swim there. They said, we're not going to swim there. You just deposited all your sins there. Now you're contaminated. We're going to make our own bathing place. So she and her friends took their bangles and started digging. And that the holy places offered to fill her kund as well. So they came and filled her kund. Of course, Radha kund and Shravan kund are existing eternally. But there is also, with all of Krishna's pastime places and all of Krishna's activities, although they exist eternally, he also has activities where they manifest. Just like Sita and Rama are eternally married, but they also eternally get married. So like all young girls, they all look forward to their wedding day, right? So it's not like if you're eternally married, you never get a wedding day. It wouldn't be very fair, would it? So Sita gets to have her wedding day every day and also be eternally married. So in the same way, these holy places have their pastime of being manifested and yet they're eternally existent. Is that right? Yes?
What
is a Pushpa Samadhi? Oh, Pushpa Samadhi is when the person leaves their body. There are flowers offered on the body as part of the funeral ceremony. So some of those flowers that have been offered on the body are then buried in that place. Many of the samadhis in the Vrindavan area are samadhis either of flowers that were offered on the body or a burial of the person's ashes. So sometimes they were cremated and their ashes were buried. There are very few samadhis in the Vrindavan area that are actually the full body was buried. Yes.
Before you got the verse from the Nectar of Instruction, which says that just by bathing once in Radha Kund and one gets Prema Bhakti, but we see that sometimes devotees bathe in Radha Kund and they don't appear to attain Prema Bhakti.
Ah, well, there's several answers to that. First of all, it says that one should serve Radha Kund in one's spiritual body. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati one time said about people doing sinful activities at Radha Kund. He said they're not actually at Radha Kund, they're at Naraka Kund. So being in a holy place is not just a question of the physical location of your body. I spoke about this at Pranaprabhu's house the other day in relationship to a conversation Prabhupada had in Hawaii, where he was asked, can you make more advancement living in the temple versus outside the temple? He says, well, that depends if your mind is on another subject matter. So people who are living here, if their mind is in Radha Kund, they're living in Radha Kund. And people living in Radha Kund, if their mind is on something else. Just like as soon as you enter into Radha Kund, there's this family that live under a wagon. And the little girl there will come up to you. As soon as you come on the Radha Kund road and hit, can't come on the Vrindavan road and hit the Radha Kund road, and she'll come to you and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what is she actually saying? What is she saying? Give me some money. So what's going to happen to her next life? What will happen to her next life? She'll be what? You don't know. She's chanting Hare Krishna, meditating on money. What will happen to her? She'll be very wealthy. Yes, but she's not going to go back to Godhead. So it's not just what you do with your body, it's what you do with your consciousness. I mean, I saw so many pilgrims there during the parikram of Govardhan, which is intense. And when they come to Radha Kund, they go to the sangram, sit down, and just dangle their feet in the water to cool off. Yeah, so hundreds and hundreds of people do that. It depends on your consciousness. You know, this isn't some... Many years ago, Radha Nandamars gave a really funny lecture where he said, you know, if you took a bunch of ordinary people to the spiritual world, they would just look around and say, oh yeah, a bunch of Hare Krishnas. You know, factually, the price for going back to Godhead is what? What's the price? Eagerness. And Prabhupada defines eagerness as when you don't want anything else more and you're willing to pay any price to get something. That's eagerness. It's the spiritual side of lust. You know, when a person's in lust, they're willing to pay any price to get the object of their desires. They're willing to ruin their reputation, spend all their money, destroy their family, whatever. Right? Isn't it? Some people do that. Like our wonderful American president, Bill Clinton. Right? He was willing to jeopardize being president of the United States because he was attracted to some woman. I mean, can you imagine you're president of the United States and you're willing to throw that in the garbage? So would we throw being president of the United States in the garbage to attain Krishna? That's the point. Would we be willing to sacrifice whatever we have, which we're going to sacrifice anyway, but would we be willing to willingly sacrifice? That sannyas means willing death. So that's the price. Like we were just reading the other day in the Bhagavatam in the class. Prabhupada said desire, or does anyone remember what he said? Yep. Anxiety. What's our anxiety? Our real desires is not just, oh yeah, I wish I could be a pure devotee. Our real desires are what our anxieties are. What are we in anxiety about? So if you're bathing in Radhakunda and you're in anxiety about your bank balance, or you're in anxiety about this, or you're not really bathing in Radhakunda. So that's one answer. And real bathing in Radhakunda is done in awareness of one's spiritual body. And another answer is, if one is bathing in Radhakunda without proper consciousness, then it will take some time. It's like chanting Nam Aparad. So by chanting Nam Aparad, chanting, eventually you'll chant Namabhash. And by chanting Namabhash, eventually you'll chant Shudana. So we don't say, don't chant Nam Aparad at all, you know, just don't chant. Okay, you're chanting Namabhash, eventually it will come. So those are the two answers. Actually, we could give a third answer from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami lists the potency of many different things. He'll say, like, if you just pull the Rath cart, you know, if you just smell the incense, you just see the lotus feet of the deity, right? You're familiar? And then he says that some people may object that so many people are doing these things so they don't seem to immediately get the benedictions. And his answer is that these things have that much potency, but not everyone who contacts them may fully take advantage of it. So that's actually the verse for tomorrow. Yeah, the Bhagavatam verse for tomorrow is the receptivity of the person who hears the Bhagavatam. So there has to be a certain receptivity on our part. Does that make sense? So that's what sadhana bhakti is meant to do, is it's meant to make us receptive. It's meant to make us interested. It's meant to increase our desire. And as soon as we're fully receptive, then our relationship with Krishna is already there. And Krishna is already wanting to have that relationship with us. We really don't have to convince him. But it's a question of our wanting. So yes, there's that potency that one bathing once in Radhakunda can have their love for Krishna fully aroused. But that depends on us. How much is one actually bathing in Radhakunda? And like Prabhupada was saying, that to bathe in Radhakunda, one should be willing to do Dandavat Parikrama of Radhakunda. You know, so it's not a cheap thing. Well, I'm just going to go and, you know, okay, I've taken my bath or my benediction. One should be worshipping Radhakunda. Yes.
So, Mataji, when I did this Parikram under guidance of Govardhan Parikram, and of course I was new to it, and since the leader sat down and, you know, at Ratapur, and the Sunday then sat, I did the same, of course chanting and, you know. But how can, the time is very short, you know, because we have to get there by 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. to ISKCON temple, you know. And
right.
The night comes, you know, we can't spend too much time, you know, to wander around Ratapur, you know, from that particular.
So that's why I took you this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that most people who go to Ratapur, I mean, I was going to Radhakunda for years before I ever saw all these places.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know they existed. So I thought I'd bring you there virtually. But it's not even a matter of time. What is it? Lava Matra Sadasanga. Sarva Shastra Kaya.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you need is an 11th of a second association with a great soul, what to speak of Radharani. Again, it's not a question of length of time. Obviously, if you can spend some time and you can actually visit all these places of all these great personalities and get their blessings and have their association with them. But hopefully we just did that through the nice side of Kali Yuga. The use of technology in Krishna's service, you know, Kali Yuga has its benefits. Seriously, you think about the followers of Jesus who didn't have any recordings of the words of Jesus Christ. You know, nothing was written down until 100 years after Jesus left the planet. How do we know we even have his words? Whereas, you know, we have photographs, we have videos, we have audio recordings, so many things. So we have a great wealth. But no, it's not just a matter of time, it's a matter of mood. An 11th of a second in the right mood with the right receptivity is all that you need. Now, not that if you have, it's just like, if you have millions of dollars, you don't just give Krishna a dollar. You know, if you have the time, then take it. But if all you have is a dollar and you give Krishna the whole dollar, then that's pretty valuable. Is that all right? Anything else? So just recently I had the good fortune, right before Janmashtami, to be in Hungary at the Hungary farm where Shivaram Maharaj has installed all of the holy places of Vrindavan there on the farm. And he was taking us on parikram of the farm and showing us, here's, this is the Yamuna River, and this is this kund, and this is this place. And he's going to establish monuments at these different places. And he was making the point that wherever Radha Krishna deities are there, then naturally wherever Krishna is, his dham must also be there. That again, it's a question of our consciousness, that if we're in the proper consciousness, that dham will be revealed. And it was quite interesting. The first couple days of the parikram, I kept thinking, you know, he'd say all these wonderful things, and then I'd think, yeah, but we're in Hungary. Yeah, we're in Hungary. And on the third day, I actually forgot that I was in Hungary. It wasn't like till the end of the day that I thought, oh yeah, I'm in Hungary. I actually started feeling like I was back in Vrindavan. So that's also true here. It's not just that we say that this is New Varshana. You know, a Prabhupada installed Radha Giridhari. That means Radha Giridhari are personally here. And if Giridhari is here, then Govardhan must be here. And if Govardhan's here, that means that Radhakund and Shamakund are here somewhere. It's just a question of our finding it. It's a question of our opening up our vision. I was just reading in the 14th chapter of Krishna book where Lord Brahma says that Maya only exists in the mind. So as soon as we clear our consciousness, then there's no more illusion. So actually, it's not just a question of getting on an airplane and paying a lot of money and, you know, dealing with the Delhi airport and the cab drive from Delhi to Vrindavan and all that kind of stuff to go to Vrindavan, because you can do all that, and if you're not in the proper consciousness, you won't be in Vrindavan anyway. A few years ago when I was in Vrindavan, one devotee who shall remain nameless, I had to go pick up something from him from somebody else. And he was in this dark, moldy, stinky room. And he said, "Where's the bliss? Nobody's in bliss here anymore." Everybody always used to say how blissful they were, you know. And I said, "Prabhu, I've just been here for 10 days and I was with a lot of blissful people. I never meet any of them." So, you know, it depends on your consciousness. And if you're in the proper consciousness, then Vrindavan and Radhakund and Varshana will manifest here. So I hope you had a nice tour. And I don't know why, but of all the presentations I put together, this one took me twice as long as the longest. It usually takes me 5 to 10 hours. The longest was 20. This one took me about 50. So anyway, I kept thinking, why is this taking so long? I bet maybe it's just Radharani's trick to absorb me more than thinking about Radhakund. So I hope that you all got some transcendental enlivenment and inspiration from this. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Lights.